Well, it's best song ever. Not a podcast better. The tunes are cool and the jokes are clever. It's a worthwhile endeavor.
Welcome to Best Song Ever. I'm your host, Luke LeBen. I'm ready to talk, Taylor, Tortured Poets Department. But first, I'm joined by an anonymous host who has entered themselves into witness protection.
Hello.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Hello. I'm here to talk about the Tortured Poets Department album by Taylor Swift that I thought wasn't her best.
Yes, I'm in that camp as well. I did still like several songs, but my feelings are mixed on it, I'd say. You know, my wife is deep in Taylor talk. I'm a pretty loyal Swiftie as well, but I still have to admit that this is... of the last four albums, I'd say this is her weakest.
Yeah, and this is why we, well, this is why you didn't record. I have never been on this podcast before last week because
who are you? We don't even know.
Just trying to be safe and hiding from anyone in my life that may have a strong opinion about Taylor Swift.
Oh, I thought you just didn't want the hardcore Swifties coming for you.
Well, let's just say the hardcore Swifties are close to my heart. But that's getting a little too in-depth into my personal life. I think a common thought about this album is that the Antonoff-Swift partnership may just kind of be out of fresh ideas.
That's what I've heard.
It's disappointing because they're both very good. I think Bleacher's most recent album was really good. And I think Taylor Swift's been on a run of very good albums going back, I mean, three or four or five albums. Like, I think she's really gotten better and better and better with each one. And I think a former host of this podcast, Kevin Connor, I believe, doesn't love long albums. And the Tortured Poets Department...
Famously.
It's a great rule. I really... respect him for that, but God, it's long.
Yeah,
it's a double album, and I thought maybe, hey, let me fix this, let me take my 14-15 favorite tracks, throw them in a playlist, and like make an abridged version.
Yeah,
I don't think there's 15 tracks on here that are bad and 15 that are good. I think there's 31 that are fine. Like, there's very few that stand out as really, really not great music. But I also think there's not a ton that stand out as, like, wow, this is a great track.
How many times have you listened to?
I'm, like, 2.5. I gave it a listen kind of first time in segments. I gave it one good listen start to finish, and then I wanted to do it again, and I have fallen off since. Annie's, other people in my life have played other songs to like, say, like, oh, I like this one, and I've heard those kind of loosey.
Which I do, I'll hear some like clips coming out of Kyle's phone on TikTok, and I'll be like, oh, okay, what's that one? That sounds cool. I feel like the two big criticisms I could say is it's samey. While there are some good songs, there's maybe other ones where they kind of scratch that same itch, or other ones on more recent albums where you're like, well, I'd rather listen to that one. That kind of reminds me of this one. And Self-Indulgent is the one thing I've been hearing thrown around about this. I watched Fantano's review and read... I think it was a New York Times review or something. And so I think that's definitely fair. I feel like for the Swifties, it's like you get your money's worth. Like, but then there is that oversaturation element to it. I still put 9 songs from it on our monthly music recap playlist.
Okay.
You know, just the ones that I feel like were the strongest of the bunch. Even some of those I've kind of like worn on them after hearing them a few times, because I've listened through like 3 times. Kyle, my wife, and I were painting the baby's room, and we listened to the whole thing. And there were a few that even Kyle's like, yeah, cut this one. The ones that are about Travis that are like
kind of like, while your bros play Grand Theft Auto.
Dude, the song The Alchemy, we like, Kyle didn't even realize until we're listening to it like the 3rd time. There's so many like sports terms, and we're like, this is basically the fake Travis TikTok made it to the big game.
I saw something same. I did see that song, someone, I sent this to you, turned it into an MF Doom rap. And it was real good.
That's awesome.
Maybe we need Taylor ghostwriting for some hip-hop artists.
Also, and you know I don't scroll TikTok much. I just go on there to post my own music.
Okay, you're better than us. We get
no,
it.
No. But what I have been getting when I go on there now is these videos of a dog. Or Kyle said she's seen cat ones that are better. But it's like a dog being cute, and it's like, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me?
Yeah,
and then it cuts to them. It's like, well, you should be. So I enjoy that. And that song grows on me. You know, sometimes when you see the song in another context, it's like, oh, okay, I kind of like that. But yeah, I'm definitely kind of mixed on it. And I feel like, but before Folklore, there was always like times on Taylor Swift albums where there were lyrics where I'd kind of roll my eyes,
mm-hmm.
like, okay.
She's intrinsically a cringy millennial, and that's fine.
Yeah.
So, well,
but
you
I
might,
think, like,
I can't speak for myself, but, you know, I know other people that have been on this podcast certainly think they are.
She was only going to ride that wave for so long, you know, and so I kind of feel like we're just back to where I was with Lover, which I, some great songs on mm-hmm. that album, really love that album, but then there's some lyrics where I'm kind of like, okay, but so that's what I feel like I would say. I really like Can Do It With A Broken Heart and the song right before LOML, and mm-hmm. I feel like I have a taste for Aaron Dessner piano songs more than you do, and like quiet toned down tracks. So there's some that have come, I'm like, oh yeah, I really like that one. But I do feel like sometimes I'll be like, well, this kind of reminds me of one on Evermore, or kind of reminds me of one on Midnights, and I'd kind of rather just hear that song.
If this got released as like the vault tracks of like the COVID vault tracks, I think that would be a great album. I don't, you know, like, it feels like a bunch of B-sides. Not entirely, but
Midnight's Leftovers is what Fantano called it. And I'm like, that's mostly fair.
Yeah. And also, just the lore of Taylor Swift that's I barely know about. Like, I know that she dated Matty Healy, and she broke up with Joe Alwyn, and she's dating Travis. Like,
yeah.
But, like, it's getting to be just like, okay, like,
you know what it's like? It's like if you were to see Endgame without watching any of the other Marvel movies, and people are like, oh, it's so great because it's paid off this, and there's this context for this, and you're like, but I just watched the movie, and I didn't know, you know? And I feel like those people were like, well, a movie should stand alone on itself, and so that's what I kind of feel like. You shouldn't need to. It's fun. I'm like, I don't want to ruin Kyle's fun, because it's like, if you're in the like Easter egg camp, she gave you more than Easter eggs. She gave you a whole nest. And it's like, some of the stuff is really obvious, even like capitalizing KIM to show you the songs about Kim Kardashian.
Oh my God, what is it about?
Yeah. So yeah, definitely. I feel like that's if you're just a casual music listener and not like so into the Easter eggs, it doesn't pay off as much as the past few albums, where, you know, I'm just looking for good songwriting and
mm-hmm.
good vibes. Like, I feel like some of the lyrics I'm not even digging in. I'll catch some of them, but I'm just going off the vibes, and I know that's how you usually listen to, and it's definitely lacking in some spots for sure.
Oh, I've never discussed my music habits on here. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I don't know who you even are.
The last thing I'll say is that I think her putting out music for her biggest fans is good. She is one of the few artists in the world who can do that and probably have it be incredibly financially successful, right? Like, if only the hardcore fans listen to this album, she will do well on it. But I also think that doesn't make her immune from criticism from her broader fan base to be like,
right,
you've done better. This isn't for me.
She'll get us back eventually at some point.
I'm sure. Listen, there will be a 12th Taylor Swift album, I'm sure, and I'm sure it'll be interesting.
Did you see the video for Fortnite?
Only in clips. I haven't seen much.
So, you know, her whole thing is very, like, classic poet, like Emily Dickinson. I don't know if I'm way off with that name, but, and so, you know, you get this like sort of like vintage classic vibe, and then Post Malone's there. And it's just like, okay, it just ruins the whole thing.
Did I see that she had his tattoos on her face?
Yeah, she like wipes off her face and has his tattoos. It's truly, I like laugh. And that's what, there's some moments where I just straight up laughed, and I'm like, I really do appreciate she's a great songwriter on a lot of these. And some, when she goes, fresh at the slammer, baby. I'm just like, what?
Can I just say, the title track, The Torture Poets Department, when it talks about how you brought your typewriter over and I asked who used a typewriter.
Did you say Tom Hanks? Oh.
No, but that might be some of the worst songwriting I've heard in modern music.
Not the line about Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist.
That's the same song. That song, I got a place you can put it. And it's right here.
In the trashered garbage department. Kevin held up a trash can. I mean, some unknown person held up a trash can. I don't know who they are. Yeah, so I also saw a Stereogum headline that was like, can we all just be more normal about this Taylor Swift album?
Yeah, because that's...
I feel like there's going to be two extremes of people who are, like, really hating, and then the hardcores who are, like, never going to say that anything she did is bad. And so I feel like I fall in the middle. I feel like Kyle even falls in the middle, but then is maybe leaning towards the hardcores more, you know?
I'm lending my opinion about this album because it's on a music podcast that I'm on for the first time ever. But if this wasn't a podcast I had ever been a part of or did, I'm losing the bit, whatever. I wouldn't really give it much thought, and I'd probably just move on. And when someone played it.
Hello, it's me, Kevin. The host of the podcast who's tired of that bit.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
We're lost in the sauce.
Well,
whatever. Yeah. Listen, overindulgent and a little too long sounds like the opening to this podcast.
Hey. To sum up my feelings, I'm a proud Swiftie. We'll continue to always listen to whatever she listens to or puts out.
Yeah.
But yeah, not in my top five.
What I was gonna say is it on your like ever growing year end list?
I do not know. I'm right now. I'd say probably not. And you know my year. Oh, it's gonna be in the very large playlist. Like no doubt, it's gonna be on my big like 100+ playlist. Absolutely. But in terms of like my top 20, I think I'll probably be, saving those spots for maybe lesser known artists or ones that really stuck with me more, because I liked Cowboy Carter a lot too, but after a few listens, and it's also very long, I'm kind of like, I don't know, it faded, didn't hold up for me as much. Maybe some songs will come back around, but I feel like, I don't know if those will make the top 20, and I like to shine a light on some of the lesser known artists too.
I also did not put it on. My top 20 list, which is very much like a developing thing, is up to like 16 albums I certainly could put on there. And we're so early in the year that I'm like, there's no way that it would stay at 17. Unless music stops coming out tomorrow, which it ain't gonna.
And speaking of music that comes out tomorrow, or nay, today, let's listen to some brand new music. This is, of course, Best Song Ever, and we're going to play some fantastic new tracks for you.
Yeah, so Luke, you're going to play a song that comes out today.
Yep.
Later on, but my turn.
Tease.
I am bringing a track from Bloomsday, which is the project of New York-based Iris James Garrison, who has just announced their new album, Heart of the Artichoke. And I love that title. It's so evocative. Fun.
Bloomsday sounds like the opposite of doomsday. It's like where a bunch of flowers bloom instead of destruction.
Yes, 1000%. And this is an album I've had the chance to listen to. It's incredibly good. It's vibey. There's I wanted to bring like five tracks. I'm bringing the most recent single, but just know that like there's some heat on here. The other single, Dollar Slice, that just came out is also super good. But this is an album that was recorded across 10 days last summer in upstate New York with collaborators from a wide range group of bands and indie artists and producers. And they made the goal to be really kind of insular at the time of the recording, where they had like family dinners and bonfires and like hung out all day and that's just fun. Recorded the music and like let artistry take over.
10 days, that's a pretty quick record.
Yeah, and it's I believe 10 tracks. Yeah, so I don't know if it was a one a day kind of thing or what, but they're full-bodied folk songs as is described by this, and they're kind of an ode to things that are good no matter how small, like the tiny things in life that do bring you joy. The track I mentioned just earlier, Dollar Slice, refers to like a dollar slice of pizza you could get at like a New York pizza place. That's the kind of thing we should be singing about. Like we should be singing to the heavens about that.
Sing about slices.
Yeah. So it is a fantastic album. The track I'll be playing today is really a good demonstration of kind of what you'll hear. It goes in a lot of different places otherwise, but if you like this, you will like this album. So let's give a listen to Bloomsday with Virtual Hug.
I sent you a message before takeoff, a kiss and a goodbye, virtual hug, then off into the clouds. Back when I'm sad, you'll get me a hug.
You know Lukey Likey, that song.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, full-bodied was a great great description because it was very, like, chill and vulnerable sounding, you know, mm-hmm. especially at the end where it goes acoustic. But then you had that, like, bass chugging in there, really full sound with the guitar and band and everything. And, yeah, sounded great. I liked the lyrics about the virtual hug and... Sounds like, I'm assuming, you know, like Zooming or FaceTiming with someone who's far away and saying, like, I miss your house. And
the text messages of, like, I'm taking off, love you, that, like, are so evocative of, like, a relationship that, I you know, we all certainly experience in our lives when our loved ones are far away.
Yeah, and saying it's a practice of patience,
mm-hmm.
Definitely driving home that point. But yeah, that was a really great sound. I'm sold on Bloomsday.
Yeah, well, you don't have to wait long, Luke. It's just but a month away.
The Bloomsday approaches?
The Bloomsday approaches. So that was Bloomsday with Virtual Hug from their new album, Heart of the Artichoke. Out June 7th on Bayonet.
All right. This is the time in the show where we play a little game called Song Saga.
Yeah!
Woohoo! You can go to song-saga.com/rockin/21 to get this game for yourself. And that is our affiliate link. How this works is I have some nice green cards here. They have a prompt on it. And it says, what's the song and what's the story? And then we free associate and share personal tales of our life. Just like Bloomsday did there, we're going to get real vulnerable or get real silly. Who knows? So here we go. Song you had to master when learning to play the instrument. So that could be any instrument. I'll say we can include Rock Band or Guitar Hero in here.
Thank you for my musically non-talented self. No, you know, listen, I wasn't always a non-musician.
You played a ukulele.
Well, even before, not well, even before that, I, in fact, was a pretty accomplished elementary school flautist and middle school oboe player. I did do Chariots of Fire as a solo at, I believe, the fifth grade concert. So, like, imagine a very, like, shaky flute. Just like, and everyone clapped. I'm sure my parents have it on VHS.
Crowd went wild.
Yeah. So, easy answer, Chariots of Fire.
That's fun. The first one that comes to mind for me is when I was taking piano lessons back in, like, fifth grade. And I believe in the piano bench behind me, I still have this sheet music because I got the piano from my parents' house. It was the Mission Impossible theme by Lalo Schifrin. Good beginner piano song. You know?
very staccato, so you can just, like, do one note at a time.
Yes, and then because I went to a Christian school, the next recital was something, I can never remember the name of this song. Maybe it was We Lift Your Name on High, Lord I Lift Your Name on High. It was either that or How Great Thou Art or something like that. It was one of the staples at the church at the time, but it sounded quite beautiful on piano.
Sure, it doesn't hold a fucking candle to Chariots of Fire, though.
No, sir.
I did enjoy that when we were talking about Taylor Swift, when it came out, I said that none of these songs hold a candle to Faint by Linkin Park.
Too true.
Yeah.
But speaking of like recitals and talent shows, I do have brought up another and talking about your like video, because I did find a video of this in my parents' house. Ooh. Not too long ago. My senior year, I had a song. I know it was in the key of C, and it was an instrumental epic on piano. Do not remember a single note of it anymore. But me and my friend Craig, he played guitar and I played the piano for like the senior year talent show. And I showed up wearing shorts, and I was so over being at my strict Christian private school with the dress code at that point. And so they were like, you can't come in with shorts on. And I said, I'm performing. You have to let me in. And just argued until they let me in. And I was wearing like athletic shorts and a hoodie when I went up there and performed my masterpiece.
Despicable.
Yeah. I was a rebel.
If wearing shorts is being a rebel, I am Luke Skywalker.
Just 80s. This could go anyway.
Oh, I mean, God, it's Hall & Oates for me. Like, right, it's...
That makes sense.
My 80s sense. Playlist was called John Oates Mustaches Playlist. It still exists, I believe. Let's find it.
I thought it was going to be John Oates Must Die. Like, what was that movie? Not John Carter Must Die.
John Carter was of Mars, and that movie died. Yeah, John Oates Mustaches Playlist contains... hits from Loverboy, Hall & Oates, Phil Collins, Europe Queen, George Michael, Eurythmics, The Police, Eddie Murphy. Ooh, Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy. That's the song I'm going to choose.
Yes.
That song, in high school, we thought it was so fucking cool. And we'd always play it at parties. And we thought it was very funny that it was Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, I didn't know that was Eddie Murphy for so long.
And well, because you like that
he had an album.
It can't be Eddie Murphy, right? Like, there's got to be another person named Eddie Murphy that's just a musician.
Yeah,
and then it's like, oh no, that is Eddie Murphy.
That's him. I listened to that album once back in the day. All the other songs on it too. It was a good time. Should probably do that again at some point.
I thought there was like one other one that kind of hit, but it's not particularly great. Party All the Time has 64 million streams on Spotify. The next one has 500,000.
So for me, the first one that comes to mind, that doesn't tell you.
Discord completely blocked that for me. I heard
you would know it If Discord hadn't done that. It's Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears.
Yeah, that's good. You've never seen have you watched For All Mankind? All of it? There's part of it?
Not all of it, but some of the first season.
And
then I think we canceled Apple TV, so
don't know if I'll ever. My dad literally texted me and go, we're starting Ted Lasso, don't cancel Apple TV. So I've still got it going. But there's a really good Everybody Wants to Rule the World needle drop in that show. That like is super effectively done.
Yeah. I mean, that song screams 80s, and I was kind of an 80s snob. I feel like because I mean, my favorite decade is the 70s for music, but, then my dear friend Rob, may he rest in peace, got me into Tears for Fears, and it was actually their like 2000s album, which is also really good. But then, that was like the quintessential 80s song that made me be like, you know what? Maybe I'm being unfair on an entire decade with the breadth of different styles of music. And so, you know, when I was reading Ready Player One, too, I made an 80s playlist of like every 80s song that they mentioned in that book.
Just like, take that nostalgia cable and jam it into the back of your skull.
So now I'm obviously love all decades of music and all styles, but was a stupid rock snob back then. But yeah,
it's true. Luke puts on Sing 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 and just fucking goes bonkers.
What song is that?
Hey, go look up Sing Sing Sing. It's literally the song of the 20s.
Of the 20s?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, by Benny Goodman. You talked about this once before. Is it the... boom, 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 boom,
do, 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 yes.
Do.
It's so good. I mean, it's a fucking banger. I wouldn't be surprised if you were going bonkers for it, but
he's a good man. It's right there in his name.
Let me make sure that came out in the 20s and not like the 40s.
It looks like it did.
Who knows when it 1936. Oh damn, Benny livening up the depression with that one.
The 30s may as well be the 20s to us. We're so far away from it.
You want to hear something fucked up? I saw someone say the 20s, the last one. And I was like,
oh, no. Yeah, we're in it.
We're in the mid 20s. We're about to be able to rent a car. We're in the 20s.
Wow.
So
wild stuff.
Yeesh.
All right, should we do one more really quick? Need to be high for it.
Oh,
man. What are... Oh, well, you know one that comes to mind. I mean, I think there's a lot of songs.
There's so many, like, classic ones, right?
But you know what I remember was... it was, like, 2017 or something. Explosions in the Skies, last album. And I feel like any... Also, like, Battles... Folly Lottie or something, their 2015 album, any of those like really like epic instrumental bands, that like just a whole like epic soundscape like building thing, I feel like that is like something that I would be like, oh, I'd love to just smoke, shut out the world and listen to Let It Wash Over Me.
I'm not a big music
fan.
You know, I don't know why I've been here for a couple years. I'm not big, like, if I am altered, I'm not putting on music usually. I'll watch something like funnier or something.
That makes sense.
And one of my favorites that like was probably way funnier because I was high is Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story. So I'll just shout out Walk Hard, a tremendous parody song.
First time I took mushrooms, watched Hot Tub Time Machine, fucking laughed my little ass off. The movie's never been funnier.
No, nothing is ever fun. No one's ever funny talking about when they were high and something was funny, but Anne and I were watching Seinfeld once, and it did feel like 3 hours had passed, and then like a joke from the beginning came back, and we looked at each other and fucking lost our minds. Like, we had thought, we were like, this has got to be wearing off soon. It had been a clean 22 minutes.
Just 22 minutes.
Yep.
That's like that episode of How I Met Your Mother where they're at the concert, and they go out, and they think they've been out there for like a half hour, and it's been like 2 minutes or something. You know what would be really great?
What?
When you're high. Because I Got High by Afro Man.
Oh shit. You'd probably really associate it with that and Colt 45 on the middle school bus were just the most incredible music you could have.
Oh, also Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre, Smoke Weed Every Day. That's a good vibe too.
That is a good vibe. You're
smoking.
I'm sorry, it's called Crazy Rap. Parentheses Colt 45 and Two Zigzags.
Yes.
Who
sings that one again?
That's Afro Man too.
Oh, that's Afro Man as well. Yeah. Man, he had the hits.
Yeah, just listen. But 2 weeks before 9/11, Afro Man gave us The Good Times, an album that really was the final chapter of said good times.
Wow.
In 2001.
Thank you for your service, Afro Man.
Thank you for your service.
So, you can go buy Song Saga at song-saga.com/rockin/21 and have great conversations like that. And remember all of Afro Man's hits. All right. Well, it's funny that your song, or the album that your song came from, had the word heart in it. Heart of the Artichoke. Because my song is called City Warm Heart. Yeah. And it comes from a favorite of mine. This is La Priest.
Ooh.
The musical project of British musician Sam Eastgate. I became a fan of his after I heard his 2015 album, Ingy. Great album. Just incredible sound that I feel like I'd never heard anything quite like in modern indie music happening at that time.
Friend of the pod.
In 2016. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to get there. Okay. Don't you worry. Because, well, in 2016, he had the project Soft Hair with Conan Moccasin, which I listened to Lion Has to Stop from that album all the time. You would really like it, Kev, I think, as a fan of, like, Justice and Unknown Mortal Orchestra. You would dig that. And Conan Moccasin was on Justice's new album, which might come up in touts. I interviewed Sam, as you alluded to, in 2020, when we were both locked down in our homes. Remember that being pretty fresh, talking to him. And you'll remember that was his album Gene, where he created this synth programming computer thing that we created the unique sounds on that album, and we dubbed it the Gene Machine. So he's always doing some really innovative stuff, and he just had an album out last year, Faze Luna, and now has a new EP coming out called La Fusion, La Priest with La Fusion. And we're going to listen to the new single that's been released. This is called City Warm Heart, as I mentioned. And this track has his signature swirling, woozy style. But this track especially feels, like, funkier. And there's some great funky guitar. And like many of his tracks, you have these guitars and synths just, like, kind of blending together in this psychedelic goo that's just like honey in your ears. So let's make like the Grinch and warm our cold hearts. Here's La Priest with City Warm Heart.
When your heart is alive in the morning, when your love is on fire in the night, and when you're keeping it cool that you can, and you're
Diggity Dog. Yeah. Oh. Though, listen.
Diggity Dog.
Some of the finest beeps and boops I've ever heard. That song is so... it's evocative of him in the studio with just like 17 machines around him and just like like just hitting everything he can, and really just like a fun. I always kind of forget that La Priest has this vibe of like very like upbeat poppy, and it's delightful. I love it.
Yeah, I'm excited, and I need to spend some more time with that album from last year too, because I heard a couple songs I really liked from it. But I'm excited for this. And that's why I was looking at the album cover thinking, like, he's outside. It's kind of cool because that fusion, he's laying there with what I assume is the Gene Machine, but some sort of electronic device.
Yeah.
And then he's, like, behind him it's all woods and, like, moss above his head.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I wonder if that's sort of the fusion of, like, the electronic and the organic. And he said... You cannot blend fusion with something else. Fusion itself is a blending of realities. These are ideas I couldn't have recorded in the jungle. Maybe they are Metropolis songs. I took ideas written outside inward and finished them inside thinking outward. So, interesting fusion of ideas and sounds going on there. Not just beeps and boops, hammers and pulls. There's like a really interesting, like, that ending part is like, very like guitar bassy blending together. Again, not ever sure quite what I'm hearing, what instrument, but it all just sounds awesome and unique and exciting. So,
and I feel like he's saying, like, all right, if you're producing like a fusion music, you can't combine that with something and have it be like pure, like a pure distal, like it just absorbs it, right? Like it's just like, oh, if this is rap rock and we throw metal in it, like it's not metal fusion, it's just fusion. Like, I don't know. You get what I'm saying? It's a melting pot.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. It's some nice audio goo, like I said
before. Yeah, you know, it's beautiful. Audio goo.
Yeah. By the way, Kev, he also supported a group we love, Jungle, on their tour.
Oh yeah, so. That's a good pairing.
Yeah, for sure. Can see that. And so, always excited to see new La Priest. So, excited for this EP. And guess what? It's out this very day. Don't have to wait at all. Can go listen. So, that was La Priest with City Warm Heart from La Fusion. Out today via Domino. And it certainly warmed our cold city hearts. Here in the Motor City. All right, well, we got to talk about the recent releases that we've been obsessed with in Touts.
Touts. Luke, I am bringing two that made it onto my list, right? Like, I'm building the list, and these both, for very similar reasons, actually, really stuck with me, and I'm speaking about Hyperdrama by Justice. Played them on the pod earlier this year. Was one of my most anticipated albums. And All Born Screaming by St. Vincent. And let's talk about St. Vincent first, because
and this is a mutual tout. And I didn't really love St. Vincent's last album. I feel like there was a song or two I liked, but this one. And it's like a bigger rock sound too. Almost reminds me of like Muse at times.
Yeah.
Which is not always a sound I love. I feel like I kind of got worn out, but then she just does it so well. And
I reminds you that
she's a badass rock guitarist too. Oh, you know, she's got her own line of guitars and stuff. So
I saw a great joke that this is like music for people who love jump scares, which is a really good way to put it because it does just like out of nowhere, just like blah.
Yeah.
But this is my favorite album by her, by a mile. I think it is so cohesive top to bottom. It's so like cinematic and rich and lush. Like I have yet to listen to it with headphones, and I'm like genuinely looking forward to it because I just feel like it's going to envelop my like entire skull. Yeah. We talked really briefly via text about Violent Times being her audition for a Bond theme.
That would be so awesome.
That would be incredible. That song is probably my favorite on the album, but it's, God, it's really good top to bottom. And it's so much so that, and we'll, let's segue, both this album and Justice, I started, got all the way through, and let them play through again. Because I was like, yeah, this is hitting.
Yeah.
And like, I could just let them loop over and over again.
Yeah.
And speaking of cinematic and lush, Hyperdrama. Oh my God.
Yes, very good. Definitely an evolution for Justice, you know. Some interesting, there's like, I mean, talk about Hyperdrama. There's one song that was like almost like a gothic synth epic. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And yeah, then you got those tracks with Tame Impala, which fits their sound going in that sort of like funky Tame Impala. Mm-hmm. And then they got Thundercat on the last song. Love that song, too. Miguel on there, too.
Connor Moxon. Yeah, that song's really great.
Yeah.
I do think this is their most Daft Punk-y album they've done. I think they like, have a couple, like, vocoder synth sounds that sound just, like, super similar. And that's not a bad thing. It's the reason it worked for Daft Punk for so long. I do kind of feel like, in the same way that maybe that's a Bond theme for St. Vincent, maybe Justice is like, yo, there's a new Tron movie coming out. Forget it. Here's our number. Because that would be amazing. This, in the same way that Daft Punk scored Tron Legacy and created an incredible album, I would love to hear Justice do that.
Yeah. Call them up, Disney. All right. Well, I've been going through making our monthly music recap playlist for April. I'm almost done with it, so it'll be on our Spotify, and you can find that on the Best Song Ever Discord as well. And I've got a few really good ones. So this one will not be on that playlist because it's not on Spotify, but this one has got some serious hype, and I finally got around to listening to it. I still need to spend more time with it because it's 2 hours long. So I haven't finished it. I know you don't like long albums. How about this, Kev? It's a long album that's only on YouTube with no track breaks.
Oh, listen. I couldn't respond because there was a really loud motorcycle outside my apartment. But now that I'm back, nah. I watched a 4-hour video on a missing Super Collider on YouTube. You change that platform and I'm in.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's really cool, and I started it and, like, wasn't really in the mood for it, and then came back to it and was like, holy shit, I see what all the hype is about. It got one of, like the second highest Pitchfork score ever, and I should say what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's Diamond Jubilee by Cindy Lee, which is, like, a drag persona of this musician, and they've had several albums, and this is like, I think, the 7th album, and it just, like, because of the Pitchfork review, got some serious hype. It's self-released, no like promotion, self-made. It's the guy Patrick playing on like every song. And so I was like, you know, it's kind of lo-fi and just like wasn't in the mood for it that morning. Then I went back to it and it sounds like, I got vibes of like the band Whitney, that kind of like classic rock, just some great guitar sounds, but it is kind of lo-fi. It sounds like it could be some like lost gem from the 60s. It's, and just like a like variety of sounds on it. It's really is incredible. And so I'm excited to spend more time with it. And I feel like that's going to be on a lot of year-end lists of all the like indie blogs, cause it's very unique.
I'll check this out. Not to be reductive and just call an album a number, but I did see when I Googled it, the Fantano review, and he gave it a strong 8, which is crazy for him. Like, he does not go...
Is that high for him?
Yeah, okay. I feel like he's got, like, a couple 10s. So, like, being up there. A big album that came out 2 weeks ago got a light 3. So, he uses the whole scale.
Wow. What album was that?
Taylor Swift.
See, I watched the review, but not the number.
Yeah, the number's fun. It's reductive.
I thought that's what the review was. I need to watch those instead of the review. Album I'm going to play a song from, and an artist I've played on the pod before, Sin Cane with We Belong. Amazing new album from Sin Cane. I always dug his style, a fusion of like soul and funk and disco, but this is just in full force with some big features. You got Bilal on here, which thanks to Sin Cane, I learned about the Soulquarians, which is the collective that like produced a lot of the albums from like The Roots, Common, Erykah Badu, J Dilla was involved with it, D'Angelo, Q-Tip. It's incredible. And so, yeah, it was like I was reading Sin Cane's social media and like almost getting an education in like the history of some great music by black musicians and just what inspired this album. He always also talked about P-Funk and Sun Ra and showed a picture of him with Sun Ra. And so some great influences come through on this album. You also have a feature from Holly Cook, which is awesome. Nice, like reggae-ish song. So just so good and some really powerful inspirational lyrics. So we'll talk more about that
on
the episode when I play it. And then this one, I think there's no doubt this is going to be on my year-end list. And I was not expecting this at all because I know this band. We played them on the podcast before. This is Howdy with Howdy, or Howdy, as I like to do with Chiverches and Alves, Howdy. And they have two V's as the W, but it's pronounced Howdy.
Drummer Andrew Stevens from Howdy was featured on the track I played today.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there was like so many people on that track that it I didn't want to list 10 names, but now that we're talking about it, like, yeah, that's him.
And this, like, I've always known them. They have kind of like a laid back sort of like folky style, but this is like, I feel like this new album, it kind of blends like some electronic like drums, but also real drums too. But with this folky style, kind of reminds me of like Alex G, but it's just so like cohesive. And like, it's also a long album. I think there's 19 songs, but it doesn't overstay its welcome at all. And every song is just like beautiful. And I loved it. So I'm excited to listen to this one a lot more, and it will probably make the year endless. So that's all I got. Why don't we talk about the new Music Friday releases out today in Shouts.
Big week. Huge week. Yeah. I feel like we are like fully into music is coming out constantly and in massive volume.
We've had a lot of big weeks recently.
Sure. Yeah, and like big artists, right? Like sometimes it's a lot of indie artists, but we're getting a lot of the big ones. Dua Lipa with Radical Optimism. You know, can I kind of be a little critical here, Luke?
Oh.
I feel like...
Not like you've done that so far on this podcast.
Yeah, shit. no, but I feel like if I had not heard a single... If I hadn't heard any singles after Dua Lipa's last album, I'd be really excited.
You'd be sold.
But the fact that she's released a lot of songs, and I feel like they're all just kind of the same. Like, Houdini. Really?
I only heard one.
Fun. What was her most recent one?
Personal Trainer?
Personal Trainer. Yeah.
I liked that one.
It was a good song. Training Season.
Training Season. That's
Illusion. There. If I heard those songs alone, I'm like, oh, this is great. But it's kind of like she's been doing the same thing for like two albums now, and I don't know.
So what you're saying is Dua Lipa, more like don't Dua Lipa.
I very well would love to go back on my word and put this in my top whatever, because I think Future Nostalgia was there at one point for me.
There'll be some bangers on it, probably.
There certainly will. So whatever. She's great. Love her. Willow with Empathogen.
Yes, I'm excited for this one.
Same. Willow is like...
Sick album art. Have you seen the album art?
Yeah. Willow continues to just like be incredibly like...
Just like changing the sound, evolving. doing lots of interesting new stuff.
Yeah, and not like sticking to what you would expect her to do, because
yeah,
obviously, like, you know, there's a bit of a Nepo baby to that, like, maybe we can admit it.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like she's certainly expanded past, like, she's Willow Smith. She's just Willow.
She's maybe my favorite Nepo baby, up there with Jack Quaid.
Ooh, favorite Nepo baby.
It's tough to say. I'm sure I'm forgetting
some. I'm gonna come back to it.
Yeah.
Camera Obscura, friend of the pod, played a song from them recently with Look to the East, Look to the West. Really excited for that. And a live album from Sunny Day Real Estate with Diary. Love Sunny Day Real Estate. So really excited classic to check album. That out. Yeah.
All right. Well, I got a few artists that we played on this podcast. Of course, La Priest with the La Fusion EP. That's the first one. Go check that off your list. Nice quick listen. Going to be some great songs on there. Then we got the Lemon Twigs with A Dream Is All We Know. I recently played their song These Golden Years. Super great. Very like 60s style. Really enjoyed that. And they've just been like getting better and better. I played them years ago too. And I feel like just seeing their rise and their evolving has been super cool. Then Abibio Sound Machine with Pull the Rope. I believe we played them years ago on the podcast, but always like a cool, like funky, dancey sound going on there. Hannah Vu with Romanticism. Don't really know much about her, but listened to one song from it. Was on one of our monthly music recap playlists, so check it out. Madhu Mokhtar with Funeral for Justice. Don't know a ton about this, but it's been getting some good reviews. It was on Stereo Gum's Heavy Rotation, so gonna check that out. And then Jessica Pratt, good singer-songwriter, with Here in the Pitch. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff this week. We're eating good in the neighborhood. Just like Applebee's.
I think it's Liza Minnelli.
Wait, what?
Liza Minnelli. Liza
Minnelli is at Applebee's?
No, she's a Nepo baby.
Oh, right. Judy Garland's Nepo baby. Yeah.
How can you not love her?
That's a good one. Jane Fonda.
Carrie Fisher.
Oh, yeah.
There's some classic Nepo babies.
Laura Dern. Great Nepo baby.
Yeah, love Dern. I saw, I don't know, I don't understand most of this tweet, but it was someone standing with their arms crossed in such a peculiar way, and someone said they went to the Laura Dern School of Crossing Arms, and I was like, of course, she would cross her arms that way.
That's great.
Can do no wrong.
Well, hit us up on social media and tell us your favorite Nepo baby. And we gotta talk about our three daddies, our Nepo parents. We're Planet Ant Podcast, powered by Pinecast. Head over to planetant.com. Check out all the great stuff they got going on at their theater. And you can join our Discord from the Best Song Ever page on that very website. And that's where we share all of our longer list of everything we've been loving. So definitely want to join that. And then offshelf.net. Check it out. It's on the internet. Great columns and interviews. My cousin Brian has his feats column every week where he shares all the great hip-hop and R&B that he's been into, so check that out. You can find me at Indie Darling Music, which by the time this comes out, I will be announcing I have a new single coming out, which is the sped up version of my song The Very Same. And then I took that sped up version and chopped it up into like a beat, like a hip-hop beat, so
hell yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm excited for that to come out. And then you can follow us at Best Song Ever Pod. Be sharing that monthly music recap for April pretty soon. And then you can follow Kev at Frinty Mesh Kevin.
Frinty Mesh Kevin. Copyright it. Let's see if it's available.
At Minty Fresh Kevin. And that's going to do it for us this week. As always, I'm Luke LeBen saying you better check your perspec.
And I'm Kevin Connor saying don't follow Frinty Mesh Kevin. He's a Nazi.
Oh no. This is the best song ever.
Well, it's best
song ever. Not a podcast better. The jokes are clever and the tunes are cool. It's worth one endeavor. It's best song ever.
This has been a production of Planet Amp Podcast, powered by Pinecast.